Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the NCAA podcast with me, Joe Harvey, your host. As per usual, I'm joined by NCAArugby.com's Chris Hill.
Evening, Joe. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. And we're in a different setting today. Usually we're in kind of an office space. But today, we're in the clubhouse at Fylde Rugby Club.
Yeah, very nice indeed, Joe. You've not been here before, and I did try and pick it up before we got here. Very nice setting, just in the clubhouse at the moment, overseeing Fylde's training for the big game on the weekend.
Yeah, and I must say, it is for a Tuesday night session, which I usually associate with doing not very much, they're going for it a bit.
Yeah, I know it's on the main pitch by the look of it, under the floodlights, and at the moment it looks like the backs and forwards have been split up, and you would expect they'd be going for it, Joe. Big game at the weekend, like we just said, against Chester. Intense training as we build up to the end of this season.
And I'll tell you what's kind of odd. I really actually, for some reason, enjoy watching training. And when I was playing, which was a few years ago now, I used to hate it. So I find it quite therapeutic. But anyway, we've kind of gone on a bit of a tangent already.
Already?
Early start, so it might be a long one this week. But so last weekend, we only had two of the 48 National Clubs Association teams in action. This week, we're back to all 48.
Yeah,
we are. So that should be quite pleasant. Chris is going to have loads to write about.
As always.
Not the the Tynedale game, which was a bit boggy.
Yes, the conditions. Well, Wharfdale Stourbridge was supposed to be one of the scheduled games last weekend. The weather got the better of that one. I think it's going to be the third time it's been rescheduled this season. But Tynedale in the northeast, you expect. Obviously, you've been to the northeast a lot, Joe. I was at uni in Sunderland. We know the weather conditions at this time of year can be a bit unpredictable. But Tynedale managed to get the game on against Huddersfield, and Huddersfield got a really big win. And we'll be talking about that later in the National 2 North section.
Yeah, I know Corbridge quite well, so I was quite surprised when I actually found out it was going ahead.
Yes,
but anyway,
so was I.
There's one place to start, as per usual, and that is National 1. There's going to be a bit of a kind of a Fylde special. We've actually been told which players we're going to talk to, but we're not going to release them yet. We're also going to be speaking to Warren Spragg, of course. That's a given when we're at a club of this stature, and he's a fantastic coach, done wonders with a young squad. But anyway, National 1. So in the promotion race, we've had Ampthill, who are first on 96 points. They beat Old Althemis. By the way, this is from a couple of weeks ago when we last had National 1 games, we should say, actually. They beat Old Althemians 36-6 in round 25 to move 5 points clear at the top of National 1. Chris, was that a surprise result given how close the two teams are?
I don't think it was a surprise result in terms of... I think I said... openly last time that it was, I did expect Ampthill to win. They're at home, they've been really good at home. I think where the surprise of them could be is the margin of victory between Ampthill and Old Althemis. Ampthill definitely were clinical on the day, they were ruthless, they got the better of OEs, but when OEs got the chances, they just failed to take them, and that was the difference between the two sides. And it's a big win for Ampthill. Obviously OEs went into the week that weekend a couple of weeks ago on top of the league. Ampthill really needed to win. They didn't really need to win, but they knew if they won, destiny would be in their own hands for these final five games, and it was a big statement from those guys, and they're performing really well this season.
Yeah, of course. Now Ampthill this weekend are playing sixth place Darlington Modon Park, another northeast club that I know fairly well. They're away and this weekend,
and then they play Roslyn Park, which is the big game in 2 weeks' time. Next Saturday, because again Roslyn Park are in this title race. But just on that game, Joe, that you say there about Darlington Modon Park, 2019 has been a really good year for those guys. Danny Brown's men have just sort of recaptured their form really from last year, because we've mentioned it a lot in previous podcasts that they've been really strong. They were really strong last year, and they've started to get back to the best, especially at home in 2019. So it won't be an easy game that for Ampthill this weekend. So if they come away with a positive result this weekend, going into that Roslyn Park game at the end of March, it was a really big 2 weeks for them.
Yeah, of course. And so we looked at Old Althemians now, still second place on 91 points. They're looking to bounce back this weekend after that loss to Ampthill last time out, with their fixture against Cambridge. Cambridge, of course, in the bottom half of the National 1 table. We've written down, and I think actually I agree with this, Old Althemians running is a bit more favourable than their rivals. Who have they got, Chris?
Well, I know they've got four teams currently in the bottom half of the table, but that in this league means not very much considering how competitive it has been this year. But if you look at that Ampthill versus Roslyn Park game, it is the big game between now and the end of the season in terms of the title race. Whereas OE's, I think their only side in the top half they've got to play at the moment is Rotherham Titans on the last day of the season. That is at home as well. So if you look at the top three of Amstel, Roslyn Park and Old Athenians in terms of who they've got left to play, you have to say the OE's have a bit more favourable fixtures. But like I said, National One have been so unpredictable, especially at the top this year. You can't take anything for granted. So, but Gavin Latchin inside will be looking to bounce back this weekend. And if they do get a result on Saturday, they're still very much in the hunt for the title. And it's probably going to go down to the wire.
Yeah, and I don't know how I've missed this, but Roslyn Park have joined now with OE's on 91 points. And they're playing Plymouth Albion on Saturday. One player that actually we saw the other week was their number 8. Was it Russ Tuima?
Russ Tuima, yeah.
Russ Tuima, fantastic player. But they're playing Amptill on Saturday. Hang on, I'm getting confused. No, sorry. So they're playing Plymouth Albion this weekend. Is that quite... how do you think that will play out?
You know, Plymouth, again, similarly to Darlington, Joe, they've done really well in 2019. They struggled a bit in the first half of the season, but they've really upped the game and showed the form of last season in the second half of this season, should I say. So again, that won't be a straightforward game for Roslyn Park, but they're on absolute form at the moment. They had a little blip a couple of months ago when it sort of derailed their possible title chances, but they've kept the pressure on in recent weeks. And like we say, with that game against Amstel next weekend, again, they get a result this weekend, they're going into that Amstel game massively confident, and it's a big couple of weeks for both them and Amstel.
Yeah, it's amazing how even so many months after the first NCAA rugby podcast that we still have such a tight title race, because when we talked about it previously, there were 6 teams. Now we'll be down to 3. I mean, we don't even know if anyone else can get involved in it. I don't think anyone can.
I mean, Blackheath are on the cusp, but sort of still in the conversation. They've gone under the radar recently. They had a bit of a blip.
Yeah, they have, actually,
again.
Yeah.
They had a bit of a blip in January, February time, and everyone was like, I'm not sure whether they're going to be there or thereabouts. But I think they're only 8 points off. They've won the last 4 games, Joe. You've got to say they're still in it, because if that Amstel Roslyn Park game is a favourable result for them, they could still be in it. But you are looking at those top three that we've already mentioned as the ones that are probably going to take this one all the way. But it's just refreshing in this league, Joe, because we've seen over the last couple of years that teams have built up a lead and have kept the lead. So we're really, really interested in these final 5 games when it comes to the title race.
Yeah, and now further down the table in the relegation battle, as it is highlighted in red in front of me, there are 6 teams involved. But
yeah,
the biggest game this weekend is between Birmingham Moseley and Esher.
Yeah, big game towards the bottom of the table. And I mean, in recent years the relegation battle has been alive at this stage, and it is again this season, Joe. 6 teams that we probably highlighted that are still not safe. I think Sale FC are in there, Cambridge are in there, Caldy in there, Birmingham Moseley, Esher and Loughborough are those 6 teams, Joe. And as you rightly highlight, Birmingham Moseley, Esher is a massive game. Birmingham Moseley have won the last 2. I think they've beaten Loughborough, and they had a really, really strong win. I think it was against Chinner last time out, and they moved out of the relegation zone with that one. So that is a big, big, big couple of weeks for them, and this is a big chance for them to potentially distance themselves from trouble this week against an Esher side, which you rightly pointed out, Joe. They parted ways with a director of rugby, Ricky Nebbett, a few weeks ago, and you know, they're in a position now where they need to really pick up these wins against the likes of Birmingham Moseley. And I think as well, Joe, they've got to play Loughborough Students, who are around them. And I think they've got to play Cambridge or Coldy. I'm not too sure off the top of my head, but they've got teams around them left to play. So it's far from over from Esher. And if they come away with a victory this weekend, it just adds another ingredient to this relegation battle.
Yeah, so we do have some quite exciting stuff at both the bottom and the top of the National One table. I'm trying to think. So we're in a bit of an awkward situation today. So we're actually going to move on to National 2 South now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to save the National 2 North for when we have Warren and the players available to us. So we'll start off with National 2 South. So 14 points. This is a very interesting fact. I think, Chris, you worked this out yourself,
yeah,
didn't you?
In my weird, nerdy way, I did an article at the start of the week, and we tried to mathematically work out how many points Rams need to win the league. And I think from the last 5 games, a minimum of 14 points would give them automatic promotion to National 1 and the league title in National 2 itself. They've been absolutely brilliant this season, Joe. I think every single podcast we've talked about Rams, we just say how brilliant they've been. 23 wins for 25 games. They've been in charge for large portions of the season. they got that. I mean, last time Max, who Max Ashcroft, who normally is on this podcast with us, he said last time that, you know, they lost to Tunbridge Juddians, how they responded. And they responded by beating Taunton and really convincingly beating Taunton Titans a couple of weeks ago. So they're in a brilliant position. Again, their run of fixtures now should see them home. But they'll just be concentrating on getting 2-3 wins necessary to, you know, confirm that title and confirm the place in National One, which would be a fantastic achievement, Seb Reynolds and his side.
Yeah, and there's another big game in this league. Second place Canterbury versus, I think, third place Henley Hawks.
Yeah, exactly, Joe.
And let's be honest, a lot of these teams at the top of the table have a lot of points, which is just so irregular for any league, any sport, any league, whatever. I mean, how many points can it be on? They're on 104?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Off the top of the dome. And then Henley aren't too far behind either. I think they've got 90-something. Now, Chris, you did an interview with Sean Stapleton of Canterbury. What was his overall feelings about how the season's gone so far?
It was interesting speaking to Sean because it's his first season at Canterbury. He was at Bury St Edmunds originally when he came to the National Leagues. Moved to Canterbury at the start of the season, and we did an interview with Director of Rugby Andy Pratt just before Christmas, and he said it was all about focusing and concentrating. They were in a great position because they'd just beaten Henley in November, and that was a really big statement from Canterbury. It was about concentrating.
Sorry, keeping, Chris had a bit of a giggle because I've just downed something. I don't know what it is.
yeah, we've got a coffee.
I don't think I stirred my coffee very well.
Yeah, Canterbury were in a great position going into the new year, and they've just continued to concentrate and focus on themselves. They're on a run of 7 straight wins, Joe. And Sean was just saying it's all about taking one game at a time in this league, and they can't look too far past Henley Hawks. And you can't really, because Henley, third in the table, but 4 points is the difference between those two teams, Joe. If Canterbury win on Saturday, if they get the result on Saturday, they are in an absolutely unbelievable position to get into the playoff spot this year. And it would be a really good achievement for them. And Sean was just saying it would be a fantastic leap for them to finish in the top two. And if they are able to do that this season, it'd be very interesting to see how they get on in the playoffs. So really, really big game on Saturday afternoon between Canterbury and Henley.
Yeah, and I'd like to make an honourable mention for Tunbridge Juddians and Taunton, who have built really nicely. Taunton always there, and thereabouts, really. Not, unfortunately, not getting over the final hurdle yet.
I think that's the way of putting it, Joe, yeah.
But I'm sure in the future they will. And also Tunbridge Juddians finished 6th last year, and I think they're currently 3rd or 4th?
3rd, yeah. 3rd. Sorry, 4th. Fourth.
Yeah, they're 4th. Okay, I was about right. Do you think that they can take loads of positives from this season into next season and hopefully maybe even get over that final hurdle, get into National One?
In terms of Tunbridge or...
Tunbridge or... Or Taunton. So, yeah, could they be the top two teams next season?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Taunton. They've been close for the last few years. You know, Tony Yap's got a great setup down there. He's, you know, got some really strong players. England's under 20s. Alfie Patch has been there and over the last couple of years. Really good club. It's just recent years, it's been around the Christmas period where they struggled, but they did really well over the Christmas period this year. It's just the last couple of weeks, they've lost to Henley, they lost to Rams, and that has really affected them because the teams above them have all carried on winning. So they are getting there. It's just the little bit of inconsistencies which is holding them up, which just shows how strong this league has been, Joe, in the last couple of years, that if you lose 2 or 3 games, that can really affect you. But no doubt Taunton will be back again next year and challenging them. In terms of Tunbridge Juddians, as you say, first year in National 2 South last year, and they finished 6th, which was a fantastic achievement. This year, they're 4th in the league, and I think you'll agree, Joe, they've lost one of the last 17 games, I think it is.
And they were the people to knock Rams off the perch, actually beating them after that. What was it, 16-17 games unbeaten?
Yeah, and they're 7 points behind the top two, so that must be incredibly frustrating, but also quite encouraging for them that they've managed to string this run of results together, and they're still a bit behind the top two. So it puts them in a great position for next season. But as you say, Joe, it is very, very impressive to see these teams at the top of the table have the amount of points they do have with 5 games to go.
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to say, I'd love to see a bit more social from Tunbridge Juddians, because I think there's actually a lot, there'll be some stories of that club, unfortunately, that we're not getting in the minute, that we don't get to see. So, I'd love to see some more social from them. I just kind of want to see what goes on at the club, because I'm really intrigued, because it's the unknown that I think I like about it.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, isn't it, really? Like, it could just be a small man there. Anyway, down to the relegation battle. There's a big game this week, or at least we've labelled it as a big game.
Yes.
Is it London Irish Wild Geese versus Guernsey?
Yep, that way around, I've written it down wrong.
No, it's
sorry,
fine.
Paul Pratt from me. But yes, it is London Irish Wild Geese against Guernsey.
Yeah, is it a must win, or are both sides already down and out for the count?
I've sort of done like a draft copy like I like to do for my previews this week, and I've said it's pretty much win or bust for one of the sides. I think London Irish Wild Geese 15 points adrift of safety, Guernsey 14 points adrift of safety. It's gonna take a lot for them to stay up this season. But you know, you never know. Whichever side wins this, they could maybe use it as a platform next season for the rest of the season to try and get out the relegation zone. But it's gonna be really tough for either side to stay up, but you never know. Confidence boosting win Joe could give them a chance of maybe pulling off a great escape.
Yeah, and finally, Birmingham and Solihull are playing Old Albanian in the final team, of course, in that kind of bottom three at the minute. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what they can do. Regardless of whatever happens, Birmingham Solihull have done so well to overcome that points deficit they had at the start of the season. That can't be underestimated. Even if they get relegated, they've done tremendously well. And I'm sure they'll be told, and I'm sure they already are, they'll be tremendously proud of themselves because they've actually done that club such a good service by performing so well this season and getting out of that kind of mire that they already were in at the start of the season.
Couldn't agree more, Joe. You know, first year they've had to, you know, not go into National 2 North. They've had to say, right, we're the team that has to go into National 2 South at the start of the season. Already that's not a disadvantage, but it's already, you know, you're having to travel further and it's a new experience. You've never done it before. And to still be 9 points adrift, having had the points deduction, just shows how well they have tried to adapt to this league this season. And their home form has been a big part of that, Joe. They're going into this weekend against Old Albanian, unbeaten in 5 games at home. And that might be, if they've got any chance of staying up, that might be key for them. I think 3 of the last 5 games are actually in the Midlands. So if they are to stay up, they'll be targeting those games, and one of those games will be this weekend against an old Albanian side that has been rejuvenated since James Butland took over the reins a few weeks ago. They've won 2 games recently and ended a bit of a bad run, so it will be an interesting game, but Birmingham will be targeting this one as one they will try and get a positive result out of.
Yeah, and we might as well just move on to National 2 North as the players are making their way back in from the pitch. So the main talking point that we're going to say here is that Hull Ionians, 1 point clear at the top, but were beaten by Sedgley Park Tigers 2 weeks ago. Of course, our regular panellist, Max Ashcroft, not with us today. He's at training, rightfully so.
Yep.
He was, of course, also an NCAA club stalwart, which I don't know if he enjoyed or not. I wasn't really in the office that day. So
it was a bit of a secretive email that was sent, Joe. And it was just like, we're going to give it to Max. And then all of a sudden, we, you know, it popped up on the Twitter that we'd give it to him. And he's, you know, he probably won't thank us for saying this, but he's been a great servant for Sedge. And yeah, quite rightly, as you say, Joe, he's at training tonight because they're going really well. And it just showed in that Hull Ionians performance how well they are starting to end the season really, really strongly after what's been quite a difficult one for them. So yeah, great win for them against Hull Ionians. And they'll be hoping to just kick on from that and end the season strongly.
Yeah. And is it, sorry, I might be getting confused with the schedule we got written down. So a Hull playing Otley this weekend.
Yeah, sorry, Otley are at home to Hull Ionians. And it's interesting, isn't it, Joe? We've seen on social media that both Otley and Sedgley Park have said they can still play a massive role in this promotion race.
I didn't expect that to come out of the last podcast. That was interesting. I was a bit like, okay. Because I was obviously including it all. I was like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that Hull Ionians is their massive hurdle with Sedgley Park. And then Otley were like, well, hang on a second. You know, we've still got to play him at home. We've also got to play the likes. I think they've got Fylde and Chester still to play as well. So they were like, well, we can have more of a say than some of these actual teams that are actually in the promotion race. So it is an interesting one that both Otley and Sedgley Park have, I think, 3 of the top 4 sides still left to play. So this is why Hull Ionians' trip there this weekend to Otley is going to be big, and Otley have been excellent this season, especially at home. I think they're on a really strong unbeaten run. So Hull Ionians, we know their away form has been quite, not, I don't think disjointed is a word, it's been quite patchy, Joe, over the last, it's definitely since the turn of the year. So it's a big test for Hull Ionians, especially after that defeat against Sedgley Park. So we're looking forward to it. It should be another really, really strong weekend at the top of National 2 North. And this is why we're here tonight at Fylde, looking across the pitch as the players are in a huddle at the moment, because it's a big, big weekend at the top of the division.
Yes, and we talk. We'll move to. Oh, actually, no. Otley might have Tom de Glanville back this weekend as well.
Yeah, outstanding for England. So it was funny, Joe. We saw him at Bedford and watched him on the telly on against Northampton.
Yeah, in two different positions as well. So I'll be quite interested to see whether he takes a fullback berth actually for Otley this weekend. But anyway, on to Huddersfield. They had a well. It wasn't a big win in terms of score, but it was a big win for against Tynedale at the weekend. The only game that went ahead in the National Clubs Association.
As we touched on at the start, mate. Yeah.
Oh, my word. 15-14 in the end. Was it 3-0 at half-time or something?
I think it was 3-0 or 6-0. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It was
Chris Johnson who managed to adapt to the conditions the best, slotted over five penalties, and it was a really late penalty which won it, Joe. Big win for them, as you say. I think last time we were on the podcast, they were just about to play Stourbridge, and Max Ashcroft, who's normally with us, said it will be tough for them against Stourbridge. And he was absolutely right. They had suffered a 50, I think Stourbridge scored 50 points against them. And this season, that's not the Huddersfield we know. Three straight defeats going into this weekend against Tynedale, and they really had to win to keep sort of their top two chances alive, and they did that. Chris Johnson showed all his experience. Interesting tweet you might have seen last night, Joe, that Sale FC, who are now in National One, was going to say, you know, if Huddersfield did go up, would Chris be the first player, I don't know, for a long time or ever to have achieved two successive promotions from National Two North into National One? That would be very interesting if that was the case, but he's been a great addition from Gareth Lewis, and Saturday proved just why he's so vital to where they could finish this season. But big win for them, John.
Yeah, and Huddersfield are playing South Leicester this weekend, who also got to play Otley and Sedge in the next couple of weeks. And South Leicester, not in the greatest of positions on the table. They're kind of joined by Peterborough, who lost to Preston last time out. And Macclesfield are playing Peterborough this weekend, and Macclesfield, of course, being the other side in the bottom three as things stand right now. Mm-hmm. How do you think that game's going to pan out?
Yeah, just to touch on what you say there, Joe, South Leicester are in a bit of a tough position at the moment. They are 15 points, if I'm correct, saying away from safety at the moment. They've had, if you could have hand-picked the fixture, Joe, between now and the middle of April, you wouldn't have picked the games that they've got coming up. You know, they've played Hull Ironians, Chesterfield in the last 3 weeks. They've conceded 50 points each against all three teams. They've now got to play fourth place Huddersfield this weekend, and then they've got Otley and Sedgley Park as well to come. So they are, have got some really tough fixtures between now and the end of the season. So that's going to be tough for them to really probably stay up in the league, but you never say never in this league. Macclesfield, you say they're playing Peterborough Lions on the weekend. Peterborough, unfortunately, were relegated against Preston a couple of weeks ago in their first season. They found it really tough. But Macclesfield, they did get a great win against Sheffield Tigers, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, but then they couldn't back that up last time they played, and it's going to take a lot for them to stay up now. I think it's 19 points they are away from safety, and considering, you know, Mac have been in National One, National Two North the last few years, this season might be the end for them in this tier. But again, you never say never. Both teams still have a mathematical chance of staying in this league, but it's looking a bit glum for them at the moment, Joe.
Yes, and I think we're just about to get ready for our interviews. And I think we'll preview Fylde versus Chester then, the only other side, the other top table clash that we have written down for us today. So I'm sure in a second we'll be joined by Warren Sprague and the players from Fylde. And we're joined now with Greg Smith, the fly half for Fylde. How are you, Greg? Just had a pretty tough training session by the looks of things.
Yeah, it's been a tough session. Weather was against us a little bit, but, you know, just obviously building now for the game on the weekend, so...
Yeah, of course, and it is quite a big game at the weekend, 2-3. So, how do you feel like your preparation? I know it's only early on in the week, but how do you feel like it's going so far?
Not too bad. Tonight could have been a little bit better, but obviously on a Tuesday, it's sometimes you're just building. We'll try and crack on a few things and on Thursday, and then, you know, hopefully get rolling ready for Saturday. You know, build ourselves up and hopefully get a good result on the weekend.
Yeah, and of course a 2 week break as well, which obviously is kind of probably adding to the ring rustiness as well.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, sometimes it's not good for momentum, but at the same time we've got some sore bodies and stuff, so it's been good to rest a few of the lads. Have a weekend off, you know, do whatever you feel like you want to do on the weekend and fly back into it now, and there's a few big games coming up.
Yeah, you touched on the word momentum there, Greg. I know you guys suffered a defeat to Hull Ironians, but you bounced back superbly. I think South Leicester and Stourbridge with two big wins. So how much has that done for the confidence going into this weekend?
Yeah, it's good for the confidence. Hull was a bit of a wake-up call. I think we got a bit complacent, a bit cocky. Probably thought we were, you know, a bit better than what we are at times. You know, when we put our minds to it, we're a very good side. But I think we just went into it just feeling like we was going to get the win no matter what. So it was maybe a kick up the backside, as they say. And bounced back in good style. Two big wins. But again, now it's all about kicking on again and finishing the season well.
How long have you been with Fylde, Greg?
This is my third season.
Yeah, third so season you've been now. Sort of through the transition of RD to Warren, National 1, National 2 North. So how has that gone for you guys? And is there sort of now a clear vision of where you guys want to go in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the first year we come in, we ended up losing a lot of lads at the end of that first year. And then a big transition with the lads coming through, a lot of young lads. But now I don't really feel like the young lads anymore. They're more... Some of them are more leaders than others. They've got a lot more appearances than a lot of lads. So now we're building, and I think the squad is really coming together. Warren's got a big aim now to get the club back to where he feels they belong, which is National 1 at least. I don't see any reason why with these young lads that, you know, in the next 5 to 6 years that they're going to be a strong National 1 side again.
Yeah. And in terms of your personal season, Greg, I think if I'm right in saying your second highest points scorer in the league, so that must be really pleasing that you've been able to contribute to this success you guys have had so far.
Yeah, it's always nice to get a few points. it's a lot easier, you know, kicking the goals when people are scoring a lot of tries. So, yeah, really, that's my job, and as long as I can do that and help the team in my way, then that'll do me.
And we spoke to Alan just briefly, the media manager here, that you guys were the first team to actually beat Chester away from home this season. So what do you expect from them coming to your place on the weekend?
Chester are a big set, big strong set of forwards, moved the ball well. They're a solid set, so we expect them to come down, be tough up front. But again, if we play our game, I feel that we can get one over them, and we'll see on the weekend.
Yeah, because you did all right against them earlier on in the season. I think the only side to go to Chester and win so far. So does that give you a bit of confidence coming into another big game again at the top?
Yeah, massively. I mean, playing at home, we should always feel confident. We're a strong side when we play here. But again, like I always say, it's up to us to maybe make sure we turn up on Saturday. But yeah, beating them away obviously always gives you a bit of confidence. But we know that they'll come firing, and we've got to make sure we put a big display in.
Yeah, and just finally from me, Greg, you touched on it actually right at the start that you guys do have a couple of big games coming up, Chester on the weekend, I think it's Huddersfield as well in a couple of weeks' time. So how big are the next 5 weeks for you guys, do you think?
Yeah, if you look at our fixtures, Huddersfield, I think Sedgley Park here, Otley, who again on a massive run. So we have no easy game till the end of the season now. So, but it's a challenge, and I think all the lads are looking forward to it. You know, there's no reason why we can't back ourselves in them 5 games, but again, we've got to do it. Pointless talking about it.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and all the best for the weekend.
No, thanks very much. Yeah. Cheers.
And now we're joined with fullback Tom Carlton. Been a good season. We were just talking actually, just a bit off air. It's going to be, you could realistically hit 60 games in a row for Fylde.
Yeah. When you put it like that, it's a bit daunting to think about. But I've been lucky. I've not really picked up any injuries past 2 seasons with the club now, and as long as Spraggy keeps picking me, then 5 more games to go, and I'll hit 60 games in a row for the club at the end of the season, which would be a great thing to do.
Yeah, and how long have you been with the club?
I initially joined Fylde, I think it was 3 seasons ago, and I joined halfway through the season, so I joined around Christmas time, January time, and I played a lot of games for the twos before breaking into the first team for the last 5 or 6 games under Paul Arnold. In his last season for the club, and then going into the last season, I was with under Spraggy. I started playing a lot more regularly, 30 games last season, and then 25 games this season, 24 games this season. Yeah,
it's good effort. And then your try scoring efforts have not gone unnoticed by the club. How many tries so far this season?
22 tries, I think.
So
it
we
is
were
now.
Trying to credit you before you came in, and we thought you had 24.
Yeah. Well.
You'll take 24.
My mum probably keeps up more with it than I do. She's the one who's always texting me after the game, saying, "Oh, you're second in the trial in National 2 now." So I just usually wait until she tells me what I'm on. So I think
aim,
I'm pretty.
Is that an aim to go top? Is it or?
Hopefully. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not trying to think about it too much. I'm just playing how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're obviously focusing on the team, like you just say there, yeah. Tom, big game on the weekend against Chester, but we spoke to Greg just previously and he was talking about the word momentum, and you guys have seemed to have generated that, especially over the last two games against South Leicester and Stalbridge.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way that I like to think about it is we, everyone knows that we had quite a difficult season last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the good thing that Spraggy managed to do was we kept the core group of players. We'd lost very few players moving into this season. So the start of this season was always getting, like, building that winning mentality early on. And I think we did that, and we've definitely done that now. We're in a place now where we're winning games, we're building that momentum, and it's just about continuing that now as long as we can keep it up.
Yeah, and you touched on last season, and we spoke to Warren, I think probably this time last year, and he said about how young the squad was, and you talk about it sticking together. That was seen to be his plan. Is that part of the vision, to keep this young squad together as long as possible?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean the young core of the squad, I'd probably consider myself part of that. We're all really good mates, like, off the pitch as well, so we'll see each other during the week, even when we're not training. So we're all scattered around different universities in the Northwest, some at Lancaster, Manchester Met, UCLan, but we still managed to keep up with each other away from training as well, which is a really good thing, because I think it's really starting to pay off on the pitch. We're building those relationships off the pitch, and then I think it's starting to show for us on the pitch as well now.
Yeah, because you and Nick Ashcroft, you're at uni together, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're at Lancaster together, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you two both went on the England Counties Under-20s tour in the summer, and yeah. I think you were the first player that I've ever seen from a national club featured on England rugby for that try.
Yeah.
So how was that tour? Because that was under Arnie as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was... I've been on three tours with the Counties programme now. So I did the 18s, we went over to Ireland, played against Ireland and France, and I did the 20s two seasons ago. We went over to Holland, which was a really good tour, but then the tour last year to Georgia was head and shoulders the best tour that I've been on with the county programme, to go over there and win two games against a very strong Georgia 20 side that then went on just weeks later to be successful in the Under-20s championship was a massive thing, and those two games over there to grab two wins over there was massive. It was a great experience.
Yeah, and just you mentioned Arnie there, and you mentioned at the moment this club under Spraggy. I mean, how keen are you to stay part of this club and stay on this journey, Tom?
Oh, I when me and Spraggy had a chat a few weeks ago, I made it quite clear that I really do enjoy playing for Fylde. Like, it's where I want to be. I mentioned earlier about how I've got loads of my friends here. Like, the core of the squad is my best mates at the end of the day. Yeah. So in terms of, like, would I want to go anywhere else? No, not really. I mean, this is where I want to be playing my rugby. With me being at Lancaster, I'm in my second year at university now. I've still got another year to go up there, so I'm around the area for another year and a bit yet. So I'm really happy with where I'm at the moment. Yeah, it's going well.
And just focusing on this weekend, huge game coming up against Chester, and Joe mentioned previously that you were the first side to beat Chester away from home this season. So going into this weekend, that must give you confidence, and also a couple of big weeks coming up as well for you guys.
Yeah, I think if we look back at some of the results that we've had this season, I think that away win at Chester was most certainly one of our best results. I mean, in terms of the performance, it probably was a few things that we could have improved on, but from an attacking point of view anyway. But I think our defensive performance in that game was definitely what won us that game. We shut Chester out for a lot of the game, and I think that's what we're going to have to do again this weekend if we want to repeat that.
Absolutely. And just finally from us, Tom, how big of a statement would it be for Fylde to get into that top two this season, or even go up automatically?
Oh, I think it'd be massive. I mean, that's the objective that we set out at the start of the season. I mean, it's been pretty clear that's what we've been wanting to do
right
all season. So I think it's in our hands now. Like we said, we've just got to focus game to game on what our goal is, and pretty much every week's cup final for us now, and we've just got to keep winning our games, keep building that momentum, and I'm sure the league will sort itself out from there.
Well, good luck for the weekend, Tom, and thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, lads. Thank you.
So, welcome back to the NCAA podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to say we've got Warren Spragg, head coach at Fylde. Thanks very much for joining us, Warren. Just finished training with the lads out there. How did it go?
Not the best session we've had all year. We trained last Tuesday, was the only session that we did last week, and it felt tonight like we had a bit too much time off. But we were okay. Hopefully we got through what we needed to be able to prep properly on Thursday for a big game on Saturday.
A couple of lads said it was tough weather conditions out there. That probably didn't help either.
It's what we've had all year. It's been the worst year I can remember in terms of weather.
Terrible.
We usually, you know, we like playing decent rugby on a nice flat wide pitch in dry weather, and we've not had a chance to do it all year. It's muddy, it's wet, it's really, really windy, but we're actually cracking on and adapting pretty well. So lads are doing all right.
You say adapting pretty well there. Five games to go in the season, currently third in the league, banging this race for top two finish. Is this how you expected the season to go, wanted the season to go for you guys, Warren?
I don't know about expected, because, you know, rugby's mad. You know you prepare as well as you as well as possible, and sometimes things go completely against you, and sometimes things would surprise you that you know, when you think things aren't going so well. We had some injuries early on in the year, some quite big ones. We went into some games with teams that would probably felt like were underprepared, and we really, really performed. We went on a massive run, mm-hmm. up to January, where we were really strong and near enough untouchable. And since then, the lads, you know, grown in confidence enormously. So around about Christmas, we sort of looked, actually, if we keep our run going and we keep our form right, you know, we'd probably get towards the Hull game and be up there in contention. I didn't expect to be going to Hull above them in the league, if I'm being honest. You know, other people slipped away a little bit and we kept going, so really pleased with that. And then, you know, we got done 5-0 at Hull, and that was quite frustrating. We just got it wrong on the day. We made too many mistakes, but we've bounced. You know, we've responded to it, and we've had some good wins, and now, you know, we're in a scrap, and it's, you know, it's going to be really exciting last five games for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, this time last year, Warren, we spoke about what you wanted from the club going forward, and it's a really young squad you guys have. And against, was it Stourbridge or South West, you had one of the youngest squads, if not the youngest squad filed I've ever had going out there. So how pleased are you with the progress this side has made? Because this was sort of your vision, if I'm right in saying that you wanted this young squad to develop this year, and this year in National 2 North was a good year for you.
When you're leading, you know, a club, whether you're head coach, director, rugby, whatever it is, you've got to work out what your identity is going to be at a team. When I took over, you know, a year and a half ago, I don't know how bloody long ago it is, but you know, when I took over and looked at, you know, assess the situation and where the club is and what the club needs to be sustainable and successful, it needs to be done this way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's way too expensive. And you're also going to get players who are in it for the wrong reason. Now, when I was here as a player, we had a lot of very experienced players who'd played around the leagues, done really well, and actually you could come together, enjoy training, and go out and perform really well on a Saturday. We're successful in National One. But actually, once a group of older players moved on, there wasn't the right youth coming through, really. Lads had probably drifted along with experienced older players and not done the hard yards in terms of learning how to be at the level. And once those older players dropped off, we probably didn't have the experience or the strength. So we had to restart and make sure that we worked really, really hard to make our young lads as good as possible. And yeah, they've grafted and they're pretty good now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you've kind of got, you mix this role with your role at Sale Sharks as well. How good is it having the players from Sale Sharks here to develop at a club a bit more under your tutorage?
So my primary job is as academy coach at Sale, you know, and that's 40 hours a week. In reality, it's 50 or 60, and it's long days. It's a great job, you know, working with some real, real good kids and real good young adults there. And I'm lucky that being at Fylde, is a good place for young players to come in and play. And actually, a bit of luck this year that the players that have come in have been available to play a lot. You know, they've been healthy, so the lads have come in and they've not been nursing any injuries. They've not had first team opportunities at Sharks, which, you know, Gus Wars had a few first team opportunities, but Cal Ford, Sam Dugdale, Bevan Roddy who've played quite a lot. They've not had that many opportunities, so been a bit fortunate in terms of how much game time Fylde have got out of these players, because their priority is not playing for Fylde. Their priority, the role and my responsibility for those players is, as a Sharks coach, is to try and support their development the best way possible. And if that means that's playing in Premiership Shield, if that means it's playing at Fylde, if that means it's playing at Sale FC, Caldy, Doncaster, whatever it is, we've got to make the right decision for those players. So we're not bringing them to Fylde to help Fylde out. It's nothing to do with that. It's trying to find the best environment for those players. It's fortunate that Fylde works. There's equally these lads at Preston Grasshoppers who are going really well, having a good experience. Lads at Sale FC. Now we've got a lad who's playing over at Caldy. You know, lads are at different clubs, and this year they're all getting really good experiences around the national leagues.
Yeah, of course. And then I forgot my question.
No, I think what Joe was going to say was about this link, and it seems really strong across all those national league teams, but in Fylde in particular, is it just a sign of things to come in terms of that link with Sale? Do you think it's going to strengthen over the next couple of years for you guys?
look, I mean, speaking from a Sharks point of view, the most important thing is it's the right relationship to make the player develop. And if the National League club or Championship club, ideally, is a good enough environment to support that player development, and it can work in terms of training times and schedules and an actual definite time on the pitch, then it actually doesn't really matter which club the players were going to. It's just got to fit properly. So that takes coaches who understand the needs of the players, a club that can support it. So stuff that we would do in terms of if we're agreeing on game time that a player will have on a Saturday, then we need to stick to that as filed. I can control that as file coach, but that's part of making sure that the deal works. We've got to look after the players, so you know they need to be fed after training. You need to have the appropriate medical support and stuff, and we do that well as filed. So I can't say that Fylde are going to have a stronger link than anybody else just because I'm here. It's got to be whatever's right for the players. And if other clubs provide a better environment for the players, then they would go to other clubs. And that's how it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and you talk about feeding the players. Like, we've never come across that in any other national clubs. I mean, we know a few players at different clubs. So how important is that to you? Like, just making sure the lads get fed and make sure everyone gets cared for in a better way maybe than the other clubs?
Yeah. What you need to make sure that you're doing is, if anything can be done that's not costing you a load of money, but it can make the environment better, then you'd be mad not to, you know, you'd be mad not to do it. So, you know, this needs to be a good place for the lads to be socially, as well as rugby. So they need to turn up to an environment that's professional, where they get the medical care that's as professional as it would be in a full time club. They've got our gym's not the best in the world, but it's there, it's open, and a lot of lads will get in there and train before. Mm. As coaches, we're under pressure to make sure that we're delivering really good training sessions. They need to be able to have a hot shower, they need to get some food before they clear off home, and that way the 3-4 hours that they're out on a Tuesday and Thursday evening is enjoyable and they're getting better. And I think that's important. You know, the food, it's an expense for the club, but I think it's something that makes a big difference overall, really.
Yeah, and just a couple more from us, Warren. Back on cert to the weekend, you've got Chester obviously at home, probably the standout game across all three national leagues this weekend. I mean, how big of a challenge do you expect it to be on Saturday afternoon?
Chester are good. We broke their record. You know, they've been unbeaten at home for 11 months when we went there, and we had a really good performance against them. I thought we were very, very strong defensively. And we were nervous going into that game because we knew they're good at the set piece. We've got big forwards. They've got some real good standout individuals up front. Number 8, very, very good player. Goes real well for him, and we knew that we had to shut them down at source, and we knew that they moved the ball really well out wide. Now on the day, they had a couple of opportunities that they bombed when they went out wide, and you know, managed to tackle them into touch, and they didn't quite score. Defensively, we were good. We took our chances, so we had a really good result up there. I've been watching them. We always watch whoever we play in the last two or three games that they've played, just to get an idea of trends, what sort of things that they might be doing. They've had a few off games. They've dropped a few league points, but they're a good team. You know, they're physical. They've got quality all across the pitch. They play some good rugby. They're a good group of lads who enjoy themselves. J-Lo is in charge there. Yep. Played with J-Lo for Lancashire. Top bloke, real good coach. Definitely a good environment to be in. So, they're doing stuff right at Chester. I just hope it's a really good game and we win it.
Yeah, and you win it. Just finally for us, Warren, you used the word bounce back before, and after that Hull Ironman's defeat, there's always going to be a bit of disappointment because you're in such good form, but those two really solid wins against South Leicester and Stourbridge have just generated that momentum that you had before. So how much of a statement would it be for you guys to get the win on Saturday and keep going in these final four games, these final hurdles, if you like, before the end of the season?
Without it, look, everyone we're playing is really good. If you say which is our easy game in the last five, there's not one. We've got Chester this weekend, who were second. We then away at Wharfdale,
and filed
away at Wharfdale is hard. I've been there as a player quite a few times. Hostile, their announcer at the ground starts chirping at us as soon as we're going. Their supporters, great supporters, really vocal for a whole team, for a home team, but it's hostile for an away team.
And
a lot of our lads have never been there before.
Right.
A lot of our lads have never been to Wharfdale, so that in terms of an experience will be different. So that'll be a really big test for us if they get to play towards the river second half, which for them is a massive thing psychologically. Uh-huh. You know, there's loads of little things when you go away to Wharfdale that you need to get right to be able to get a win. And if the conditions are bad, then they'll love that. They do throw it around a lot this year, yeah. To be fair, though. So Wharfdale's tricky. We're then away to Huddersfield. I've not been away to Huddersfield before. Most of the players haven't been away there. They're fourth at the moment, but they could well be above us by the time we go up there. They want to get promoted, so that's going to be difficult. Sedge are flying. So Sedge have got to come here as our, you know, our last home game. They've got players back fit. They've sorted their, you know, they've sorted their defence out, and they've been leaking tries all over the place that they'd never leaked, you know, last season. So they're going to be a hard team to be up against. And then we're at Otley away, who are on the best run of form out of everyone in the league.
Definitely like the last few years, yeah.
So Otley are flying. They've had a points deduction this week, haven't they? They lost, they've had four points taken off them because they played a 16-year-old in a second team game. So first team have lost four league points, which will be a sickener for them. But if they're, we could be going to Otley with both teams having something to play for, yeah, in terms of top two, if everyone gets it right between now and the end of the season. So yeah, no time, no breathing space, no weeks off. It's going to be brutal, but that's why we do it.
Yeah, well, good luck for the weekend, Warren. Thanks very much for your time this evening, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Yeah, been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Right, so that kind of brings an end to our time at Fylde Rugby Club. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, Chris.
Yeah, no, been really good to get a few of the Fylde lads on, and obviously Warren giving us a great insight ahead to what is supposed to be a really big weekend of rugby this weekend.
Yeah, as we've said, probably the game of the weekend coming up, Fylde versus Chester. I mean, they're getting 3,000 every week, so maybe try and see if you can get in, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, I can imagine it's going to be quite an atmosphere here at Woodlands on a Saturday afternoon. So if you can get down, try and get in. But like Joe said, it's going to be packed to the rafters, I think.
Yes. So we just want to say thank you to our sponsors, First Aid for Sport, the other one, Catapult, and of course, Talking Rugby Union for producing this content. Yes, we'll be back in the next couple of weeks. We hope maybe at another rugby club.
Yeah, I think the plan is maybe to do a Southern special. We've got some of the National 2 South teams going really well, so hopefully Joe will get something penciled in for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, so if you do want to be featured on the next instalment of the NCAA Rugby Podcast, or just any instalment of the NCAA Rugby Podcast, please get in touch with myself or Chris. Our socials will probably be linked in to however you found this, and you know, there'll be emails available, so please do get in contact, because we would like to come to as many of the clubs as possible, I think next season in particular.
Yeah, we've enjoyed tonight, and it's a great, you know, great for us to get out there and showcase these rugby clubs and, you know, speak to some of the main guys here. So, yeah, we're looking to get out as much as we can over the next season or two.
So that's all from me, and that's all from Chris.
Thanks very much, Joe. Perfect host, as always.
Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.